And it gives me great pleasure to introduce Nick Orr from Maui, Hawaii.
Oh, well. Nick Orr, alcoholic. First off, thank you so much, Luisa, for having me. That's honestly a hard follow, to be honest. I'm so appreciative to be here and to have all of you guys be here and let me be part of this. You know, to the way you guys welcomed me from the beginning, it's been amazing and I wouldn't be here without it. This is my first time doing this. I'm 448 days today sober and in recovery. I basically, like, when someone asks to do something like this, a last-minute fill-in or whatever, you know, I just was taught, you just do it, you know? So I said, all right, I guess I'll be here, you know? And I'm excited. I'm excited to do it. I've never spoke this long, so, you know, getting used to that too. But hopefully I share my story and somebody can take something from it, you know? I think a lot about addiction, and I think a lot about recovery. I realized after I started doing a little of the work, I realized that it comes from some past trauma, you know, it comes from some childhood stuff. I had to look at my own upbringing, stuff with my mother, abandonment. I'm from Hawaii. It's like a very kind of like, you know, they like to fist fight and stuff. So it's like there's always conflict, you know. It's easy conflict. And kind of like the role models I looked up to, they were drinking. You know, the cool guys, we call them the boys. They were always by the beach drinking beers. I go back and forth with this stuff with my mother. You know, I realized that I watched her struggle in taking accountability. I watched her really battle. I watched her burn every bridge in her life, and I watched that struggle that it creates, and how if you never take responsibility for your life, what can happen? And now she's in a place in her life where she has Alzheimer's, and it's watching her just caught in hell. Honestly, she's stuck in her worst nightmare she has created for herself. And it's something that she's done to all of us, all the kids. You know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It was like my oldest sister basically made a phone call to get me out of, called the authorities on her, that's why I was separated from her. She lost custody, you know, at 18 years old. And I was just, only in recovery can I think about it now and be like, why? How does an 18-year-old get to that point to make that phone call on her own mother? And my brother's done it too. You know, it's pretty wild, actually. And so a lot of the issues I realize I have is from this stuff, you know. And as I uncover them, you know, I think that it sheds so much light and so much healing, right? But I'll keep going kind of through the story. And so it was a slow burn for me. It slowly cooked me, you know. I felt like a frog in boiling water. That was fine. I didn't have an issue, you know, until the point where, you know, I almost died. I wake up and I'm in the middle of a car accident. I have my wife in the car and I'm looking around like, how did I get here, right? It's pure chaos and fire and the whole thing, you know, and you're like, okay. And then, you know, I sober up in a jail cell, you know. I think a lot of us can probably relate. And, you know, it's like, I came into these rooms to do the thing, get the card, you know. I did it because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And coming in and feeling welcomed, feeling the support, feeling just, you know, being able to share your deepest, darkest secrets with a room full of strangers is amazing. You know, it's stuff I wouldn't tell my closest loved ones. but yet I come into these rooms and share. And who knew I needed vulnerability in my life, right? I had no idea. I didn't know that I was so disconnected, really. And I think as I started to do this work, I just was like, you know what, I'm gonna go all in. So I was doing the 5 meetings a week, which my attorneys basically said was a good idea. I joined an intense outreach program. So I'm doing another 12 hours of therapy. And I was just doing the work. Honestly, I was just, whatever was asked of me, I did it. They wanted a commitment, I did it. If they told me to write down your life story and go through all your deepest, darkest secrets, and I did it. I've done the step with my resentments, my inventory work over my mom a few times. I had to go back and do that one a few times. I've wrote many letters and burned them on that one. But, you know, my sponsor, if he said, do the work, I did the work. And I just, like, kept going. I come back to him every week. Hey, what's next? What's next? Let's do more work, you know? I know it's hard, and I don't expect it to be easy. I know that, you know, for me, alcohol, it's so insidious, that addiction and that drug. You know, I think how it starts, I look at it, and I always, like, kind of trip out on it, that it was like, it really was my therapy, right? I was almost feeling like I could use it, and I could feel I don't know the word for it. I felt that relief. I felt like it was helping, you know? And before I know it, that same thing was my jail, right? That same idea, that same thing became my prison. And then I worshipped it in a way, right? Like, I look at what I had this, like, resistance towards God and spirituality in a way. But at the same time, I was totally worshipping alcohol, right? I was like, I would do all the stuff that you would do, right? I would do anything to get it. And I would think about it. I couldn't imagine my life without it, you know? And like, I'm like, well, you were kind of already doing the thing. But you're just, it was the wrong thing. And I think that, you know, I believe that addiction is this, almost like a calling card to your true nature, right? It's like, I like to look at it, maybe the glass is half full here, but it's like, you know, yes, it's painful and it's dangerous, right? Addiction is not easy. It's you know, it could take it all, right? But some of us find this thing where it's like, it brings us here, right? It brings us to this place where we are able to shed our egos. We are able to go through that humiliation, you know? I think it's that road that really does it, you know? And I think, like, as humiliating as it is, and the steps, and some of that work, and it brings up this question for me, it's, why am I afraid of this? Why am I afraid to do this work? What is my hesitation? The guy says, hey, you know, give yourself up to God. Who am I to say? Like, what am I resisting for? And any time I feel that feeling, resistance towards any question, like coming here tonight, I go, what am I afraid of? You know? Like, it's all the ego, right? It's just the addiction mind, you know? And so, you know, I don't know. So I find it so amazing that we get to this point where the surrendering is like this. I was afraid of the idea of it because I thought it would be some kind of disconnect from my inner myself, right? But when I really did it, I finally just took the leap. I realized, like, getting out of my own way and shedding my ego through the humiliation, I became more connected to myself than I ever knew was possible. And by doing that, it was like somewhere, maybe the universe or God knew the whole way. And that's why he led me down the path of addiction. And I look at like that moment in that car where I almost, you know, 10 seconds more, I'm on the freeway. I'm going 75 miles an hour, you know. I was driving already, one eye, you know. Luckily, I got hit somebody. I hit another car, you know, like going 20 miles an hour. You know, and you're like, just all this stuff, right? Like, who knows who's in the other car? The idea of hurting somebody, hurting yourself, hurting your wife, taking a parent away from my own kids. There's all of it, right? You're just like, for me, that was enough this time, I guess, to, you know, I hear in the rooms the blessing of desperation. And that was it for me. It was enough to go, you're going to lose it all. Everything that I had worked so hard in my life to build. And I was like, I was not willing to do it. I was not willing to let it go. And I'm so happy. I'm like, words can't describe the gratitude I have for the moment I walked into the one in Orcutt, and I walked in and just everybody welcoming you and just feeling that feeling. I mean, I know we all do it to everybody. And I know we've all felt it at least once. But man, it's that thing, that alone, I think, changed my life. It's just, that was it. That's all I needed. I just needed a little bit of fellowship. I just needed some other human beings that felt my knew my story, you know? And like, I look at my life now and it's like I do, you know, obviously, once you get into this, I go down the rabbit hole of all these other stuff. I'm so into it. I love the spirituality. I love meditation now. You know, it's like my sponsor's like, yeah, you do meditation in the morning. I do a two-way prayer. You know, I even do this little Buddhist one where you basically pray good things for someone easy, yourself, somebody you really care for, another one kind of easy, and then somebody difficult in your life, and then you do it for all humanity. And for me, doing that little thing, I feel tapped in to whatever this is, like beyond our bodies and our stuff, you know? Like, I really feel, when I do that, I feel like I'm part of the ship, whatever this is, you know? And I highly recommend it. It was one of those ones, too, that I kept hearing in my feed. All of a sudden, my algorithm is sending me all kinds of weird stuff like this, and I'm like, what am I afraid of? I'll just try it, right? Like, it sounds weird, but people say it's good. I'm gonna try it. And so I did, you know? And then at night, I do an inventory. It's on like an app. Works for me. Inventory app. Ask you some tough questions. Every night, you go through, you work through some stuff. Was I dishonest? Was I selfish? You know, was I thinking about myself or others? Was I resentful, right? You know, and I think that part's hard. That part sucks. I struggle with it. I'm not going to be honest. It's easier for me when it's hard, when life is bad. When the day went bad, oh, I can get on that thing. But when it's good, for some reason, I'm like, I don't need to do it today. And someone told me, they're like, why can't you? Why can't you talk about the joy in your life, right? Why is that weird for you? And then brought up a whole other thing, right? You're just like, all right, let's figure out why that is. You know, and being grateful, I find the other side of that coin for me is abundance. And I think wishing abundance into your life, like, I would never have that without this. I would never be in a place where I was not that kind of person, right? I could say, I just felt so vain to think that way. But now I realize, why we all deserve that. We all deserve abundance, you know? And so, yeah, man, it's crazy. I don't know how much time I have, but I'll keep going. I'm halfway there. Anyway, so, oh, and then Cody gave me another app, the meditation app, free, amazing, Medito. You've done it. It tracks your meditation in the morning, something like that. These little tools that we pass to each other, that we learn here, that we give to each other so freely, to care for each other, I think, is something that humanity is missing, right? It's like we are looked at, and from the outside, I thought like the underbelly of society, right? The rejects, you know? And then you get in, you're like, wait a minute. We're doing it right, right? It's like I realize that I'm so blessed to be one of these. I'm so blessed to be here. I'm so, like, we got the blessing of this whole thing, right? It's like, people don't know. And I try to, for me, the 12 steps are pretty universal. I apply them to pretty much everything in my life now. And people, I hear it now. I see it. I can see it in normal day life. People talking about their stuff. And I'm like, it might not be alcohol, but you need 12 steps. You know what I mean? Like, you're struggling. I could do some inventory work. You'd be just fine, you know? I'm like, they are, you know, I had gone down this road of, like, self-help and spirituality before. And, you know, I've read a lot of stuff, you know, from the Bible, the Quran, the Buddhism, Eckhart Tolle, like all this stuff, right? The Four Agreements, you name it. Like, I've been researching this stuff because I'm so curious about it. And it's like a lot of them tell you what the issue is, and you're like, cool. So, like, be present and every day, and, you know, be the best version of yourself. Like, great. But how do I do it? No one tells you how to do it, you know? If you come here, they're like, actually, I've got an exact way to do that every day. Like, I tell you exactly how to get there, how to actually live it, and how to do it every day. And that is something that I think, like, people also don't realize. We got this here, you know? I had some other stuff I wanted to talk about. Excuse me. Anyway, Sorry. anyway, yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, that humility can become the beginning of the spiritual awakening, right? And this growth. And I think we all realize, like, recovery is more than just the abstinence, you know? And I think that's, like, for me, that's what's so powerful. It's, like, realizing, like, when I first got into this, I'd hit up my sponsor and be like, man, I'm so irritated, you know, at work and what's going on. And he's like, yeah. I told him, I was like, is it because I haven't been drinking? Is it, like, my, you know, my hormones are off or something? Like, what's going on? And he's like, no, man, that's how you've always been, you know? And I'm like, cool, awesome. That's great. Yeah, I'll work on that, you know? Like, and you know, it's just all the illusions that we've built, you know? And I think I got so tired of trying to keep up, like, the appearance of being this human being, you know? I was exhausted. And the drinking was this little moment of relief into, like, oh, I don't have to remember all the stuff. I don't have to remember who I was, what's cool, what songs I like, what I don't like, what I wear, what makes me look a certain way. Like, all the stuff, you know? It's that moment where you can just, like, forget it, right? You just go, that's why it feels so good in the moment, right? You're like, oh, yeah, I don't care anymore, you know? But it's, like, it's just crazy how progressive it is. And it cooks you. And, you know, all of a sudden, you can't imagine your life without that. I couldn't imagine my life without being able to push that button, that relief button. When things goes bad, what am I going to do? I don't get to push that no more. And I felt like you know, I felt like an ant looking up at the biggest wall, you know, like it's just like there's no way over this thing, you know, like what is this? My back's against the wall and there's nowhere for me to go. And I looked at it kind of like I'm a chef, right? So I looked at I don't know why, I just see through things through a food lens. So it was like, I looked at it like maybe that quick button was like, the alcohol is like almost like using a bag of chips or something, right? When we need some kind of, we're looking for substance. And we're like, I'll do a quick fix. Bag of chips, something easy. It's quick. It gets the job done, right? But we all know that's not really feeding us. And we know it doesn't do a good job, right? And we know there's consequences. And then I started to think about, I did this in the tandem with the no drinking and no substances at all, no mind-altering anything for 448 days. It asks a lot of stuff for you, right? I mean, sugar is a demon for me too. And so I try to cut that out too. I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking all the way at the bottom. And there's some other stuff down there. So I start to go down this road. I look at it like the ancient cultures, they have these delicacies of life, you know? I never really appreciate like an olive, like a good olive or like a sardine for me or like, you know, charcuterie, cheese, like good stuff, right? Like stuff that we have as humans figured out for survival to be able to pass time, right? And they're delicacies, right? We make olive oil, we make whatever, right? It's like, and so I started thinking about that with what we do, and it's like, if alcohol was the button, well, what's the delicacies? How did the ancient world handle these issues? You know? And it's like, you go to meditation, you go to music, you know? Yoga. So much art, right? Like, there's all this stuff out there that I was totally shut off to. That because the rest of my connection to self, to spirituality, to others, to my own personal, I think like my goals, I was disconnected from nature, like all of it, because I was just pushing that button any chance I got. Anytime it got hard, I pushed the button, and now with no button. You know, and it comes in waves. The first year was hard. The first year I struggled. I really, it was ups and downs. And there was a moment there where it just felt complacent and felt, I don't know, just like a angst in my bones. But I just kept pushing through. And I think like you have to go through these phases. Is there like another door that we open up, and as we push through, there's like this light on the at the end of the tunnel, you know? And I look at addiction like that. It was just a door. It was a door I had to go through to get here, to get to recovery. And now I'm home, you know. That's all I got.
Thanks.